As for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew 2, especially these words. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this text, Matthew desires to teach you how to read the Old Testament. Matthew has those three quotes from the Old Testament, from Hosea and Jeremiah and Isaiah. But even more, Matthew clues you in that this is the fulfillment of so many Old Testament sections, those beginning words about Joseph dreaming a dream should immediately take your mind back to the book of Genesis, where a different Joseph dreamed a couple dreams. An evil king desiring to search for this particular child to kill him might remind you of a different evil king, a Pharaoh, who desired to kill all of the male children of Israel, and yet one, Moses, survived. As Moses survived that evil king, he would be the one to save his people. Matthew couches this text in Old Testament references that you would see what God is doing here. God has planned this out from the beginning. And as we see all of those Old Testament texts, we are told exactly by Matthew how to read the Old Testament, that it all, every book, every chapter, every verse, every word, refers to Jesus. It all points us to what he would do. From the beginning of the Old Testament to the end, through and through, it's all about him. Of course, we know about Moses and the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. And here is Jesus going down to Egypt, that God would call his son up out of Egypt like he did so long ago. Israel was that son. The people of Israel were the Son of God, God's own children. God gave them everything. He revealed himself to them on Sinai with cloud and thunders that they would be terrified. He gave them his law that they would know how to live and know his character. And he rescued them with that outstretched arm, working the plagues on the Egyptian deities through Moses and Aaron. It was God who did all of the work to save his people and bring them out of slavery into that promised land. But you know what happened after that. Even as Moses was up on Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, what were the people doing? Worshipping their golden calf. As God led them and fed them with manna and quail in the wilderness, what were the people doing? Grumbling about Moses and Aaron, grumbling about God and what he provided them, and wishing that they were back in slavery. If only they were back by those meat pots in Egypt. If only. You know, things didn't get much better when the people got into the promised land. The first time they were turned back because of their disobedience to wander for 40 years. During the time of the judges, God gave them a judge to call them back to faithfulness. And as we get into the time of the kings, it's hard to pick out many good kings. David and Solomon, and the list is short. God destroyed his people as he brought the Assyrians in to conquer Israel. And not much later, God destroyed Jerusalem and Judea with the Babylonian army. And Jeremiah wrote, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping at loud lamentation. Can you imagine that? As Jeremiah is pulled up out of that cistern to see the death and devastation all around, he laments at it all. It's a reminder, what would happen when the Christ would come? There would still be death all over. There would still be those who are mourning and refuse to be comforted. Of course, all because of their disobedience, the consequence of sin and living in a sinful world. And yet, even to prophets like Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Daniel, God promised hope, a savior, someone to come and grant them freedom from sin and devil and death. Someone to be obedient in all of the times when the people of Israel were disobedient. Someone to live as God's Son should. Matthew points out that Jesus, this baby in his text, is Israel reduced down to only one. He will redo the history of the people of Israel. He will go down to Egypt and be called out, but he will not worship false gods. He will not bow down to the devil or his temptations. He will travel through the Jordan River into the promised land, taking up the sins of sinners. He will do all of that, following the plan and purpose of the Father, being obedient every step of the way, amid faithless Pharisees and Sadducees, amid faithless disciples, Jesus will not sin. No, he will be the faithful son that Israel should have been. Those are plagues that God worked upon the Egyptians and their deities, Jesus will suffer worse. He will be exiled into death, death on a cross, and not for his own sins, but for the sins of sinners, for the sins of the Israelites of old who rebelled continually, and for our sins, Jesus would die. For you, he would die. See, the Old Testament history of Israel proves that they were not good enough. They were not holy enough. They didn't deserve the grace and mercy of God. There had to be another to come and stand in their place. Jesus. He redoes their history for their sake and ours. Of us all, he is the one who is obedient all the way to death, even death on a cross. Matthew's point here is that Jesus is the obedient Son. He stands in your place, for you are not obedient to the Father. Just as those Israelites, you worship false gods. You should be like the Egyptians, crushed under God's judgment, or like those in Jerusalem, crushed under the Babylonian foot. But you're not. Jesus comes to you. God's own Son comes to you. The obedient one, the faithful one, comes to an unfaithful one like you and forgives your sins. He grants you his righteousness. It's all yours. He grants you to be obedient, to be a child of the Father, to be grafted into Israel, to be his own dear child. Of course, Jesus does it all. Jesus brings you in. He forgives your sins. He grants you simple faith to believe and trust all that he has done, that you would see it there in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. All of it is written down for you. All of it is done that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has died for your sins, that perfect, obedient child has given himself for you, that you would not weep, but rejoice in all that Jesus has done. In his name, amen.